Please join me in a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that we could present these two young people to you today, Father. I'd ask that your Spirit would come into their hearts, Lord, continuing to draw them closer to you. Strengthen them in their faith and their knowledge of you, Father. But not for these two, but for all of us as well, Lord, that we daily would continue to be drawn closer to you. May these words, Father, that you give me today be your words to strengthen and encourage all of us, Lord. That this walk of life that we live on may be a walk of life that is lived for you, for your glory, praising your name. So this morning, Stephen and Riley, I have a message for you too. But it's for everybody here as well. But this opening part applies to you two mainly, because the rest of us have heard it a million times and said it even more. Have you ever heard from your parents or adults any of these famous cliches that we're known to say on a daily basis? Things like, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. And by the way, that's not a literal crime. It just means understand what you're getting into. If you never try, you'll fail 100% of the time. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. You don't need that. So many parents there are like, oh, I've said that too many times. You get out of life what you put into it. You're only as good as the company you keep. If you don't stand for anything, you will fall for everything. The truth will always come out. Money can't buy happiness. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Forgive and forget. If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And you'll understand when you're older. I cannot emphasize the truth of that one right now. You will understand when you're older. And I'm sure you guys have heard those a million times. I'm sure all of us here have said those a million times to our kids. And we heard them a million times from our parents. Why? Because those are truthful lessons, believe it or not, that actually have some merit behind them. And you're not going to fully understand those now, trust me. I guarantee you hear those and that switch in your brain flicks on and you say, oh, there they go again. And you just tune it out and I get that. But trust me, life will teach you those lessons. As you get older, you'll understand the full meaning of those. To the point, and you're going to cringe at this thought, but you will probably even teach those lessons to your kids someday. I would never do that. Famous words of somebody who's going to be a parent, I'll never say things like that. I'll never be like my parents, and yes, you will be. But you see, these words of wisdom that I shared with you, these words of wisdom that you've probably heard are actually pretty valuable words for a reason, because there's truth in them. And I thought it was very interesting this morning. At first, I was a bit defeated by it, but then I realized, okay, this actually makes sense. As we were in there with Stephen and Riley, the elders were in there praying over them, and they were encouraging them, and they happened to basically say my entire sermon to them. And I'm like, well, what am I going to preach on now? These guys have heard it. But you know, maybe they were sharing those same things with you because these are words of wisdom. They're words of truth because they are words of people that have lived a life for God and understand the benefits of it. And I want to share those words with you this morning, you guys, because as you approach your life and you're going to come across these moments of wisdom and learning, the best way to approach life is to understand how we can live a life for God, what He wants of us and what we need. I'd ask them that you'd please rise, all of you, for the reading of our sermon text this morning. Our sermon text comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You may be seated. And so, when I wrote this message, I had you two in mind. This message applies to all of us, as often Scripture does. How we can learn and grow through all of the teachings found in Scripture. And it's interesting because it's so fitting, this section here, because this section in your Bible is actually titled Exhortation, Encouragement, and Prayer. And those are the three things that I want to share with you this morning. First off, the exhortation that you can find in this section. An exhortation, if you don't know what that word means, Merriam-Webster defines exhortation as the act of exhorting. So I had to go look up exhorting. To exhort means to incite, advise, or to urge strongly. And I cannot urge this strongly enough. I think it's fitting that Paul started with this point even. In verse 4, what an exhortation this would be for all of us to remember. This is advice we all need. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. It's so important to rejoice in this. He reiterates it. Again, I say rejoice. Why is that so important? Why is it so important that Paul would say to rejoice? Important enough that he says it twice. Why is that an exhortation? Because, you guys, I want you to understand, as with all of us, the creator of the universe, the one who made you, he made you with a purpose. He desires a relationship with you. He says you can call upon him anytime. And you can boldly, with confidence, go before him in prayer because of the work that Christ has done on the cross for you. That's why we can rejoice. You see, because of Christ's sin, a victory over sin, and his victory over death, what we can do then is we understand now that our sin does not own us. I thought it was great that I heard both of you guys say that. That you have been freed from that. That nothing you can do can make you right with God, and that's what we were studying in confirmation, actually, as we talked about the Lord's Supper and what it means to discern ourselves and to understand what it means, the fact that we come before God recognizing that we ourselves are not capable of saving ourselves. But Christ did that for us. That's why we rejoice. Later this morning, you'll be receiving that. The gift of Christ's body and his blood, that new covenant that he promised for the forgiveness of sins. Paul offers up another exhortation. In verses 5 and 6, Paul says this then, let your reasonableness be known to everyone, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let's look at what that means. Let your reasonableness be made known. I should have gone with the NIV here. They said gentleness. I'd have an easier time pronouncing that this morning. What this means, though, is how you carry yourselves for the rest of your life. How will people see you? They see you as being reasonable. It's because you are not following how the world tells you to be, how it tells you to look. Because the Lord is at hand, and it's interesting because what you do is you live your life believing and understanding that the Lord is at hand. And so as you guys go out into the world, you're going to see a world full of chaos. It's unpredictable. It's going to throw a lot of curveballs at you. But when you feel that the Lord is at hand, your reasonableness will come out. So when those situations come up where you choose wrong, situations that you can't control, situations that anger you or tempt you, you can lean on the Lord because he is at hand. How many of us live our lives that way? And it makes such a difference knowing he is there with you. You know, to emphasize the point of the Lord is at hand, I want you to think of it this way. In your life, and I say life is always this way, life is a bunch of forks in the road. And we'll always stand there and we'll have decisions to make. And there are times that we are going to make the wrong decision. But the amazing thing about the Lord being at hand is when you make those wrong decisions, you can turn to Him and say, Lord, help put me on the right path again. I have made a mistake, and He will. Or when you're standing at that fork in the road and you're trying to decide what direction to go, the Lord is at hand. You can say, Father, help me to make the right decision, and He will. Because the Lord is at hand. Your reasonableness will be made known to everyone because the world will see how you're different by the choices that you make, by your actions, how you live apart from the way it wants you to be. It will be known and seen. I like to say that those that know the Lord is at hand realize that there is a calm amidst the chaos in life, and we follow that calmness. And Paul goes on to talk about don't be anxious in anything. And the struggle that is anxiety that plagues us throughout our lives. If you guys think you have anxiety now, wait till you have kids. But I want you to understand something about anxieties and the stresses that life is going to cause you and the pull that life is going to have on you and the highs and lows and how chaotic life can seem right now and that will fill you with anxieties. But when you know that God is at hand, again, your anxieties somehow fade away because you realize and understand that God is in control of all things and the God that is in control of all things will care for you. And He will give you strength. And Paul even goes on to say, offer prayers and thanksgivings in our time of need, and that goes against what the world tells us. You'll often hear that in times of need, God has left you or abandoned you. Why isn't He there with you? Why are you in need? But Paul says, be thankful in those times. Be thankful. Why is that? Because thankfulness changes your perspective. You recognize what God has given to you. And you recognize that you aren't owed anything. And the bitterness that wants to creep in from feeling that you are owed something or deserve something is gone, and instead you switch from this perspective of the temporal things to an eternal perspective. You recognize the important thing comes from what God did for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. So the exhortation then would be to always rejoice and to know that the Lord is at hand. But Paul offers up an encouragement in this as well. In verse 7, the encouragement is, and the God of peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is something I cannot emphasize to you guys enough, and for all of us here today who have experienced it, you know it. You'll hit these times in life where there is nothing but chaos all around you. You feel the world is falling apart, and for some reason, this peace comes through you, and it doesn't make sense, and you lean on that peace through all of it. I thought it was interesting, a great example I read about that one time. Martin Luther King Jr. talked about this in his autobiography, actually, when he first had his child. And let me tell you what, when you first have kids, you guys know what it's like. You hold that child and you say, I will do anything to protect them, will give my life for them. And with his first child, he hadn't had this baby very long, brings it home, and what happens? Somebody throws a bomb into his house. Blows up his entire front porch, and there he is with a hole in his house and a newborn child, police all over the place, and he prayed to God, and he said, God said, I will protect you. And he said, I never worried again after that. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense to the world that in situations like that you would feel peace, but the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, and it does. I want to encourage you that peace is there to be found when you trust in the Lord. Because what happens is you understand that through your knowledge of Christ, in your hearts and in your minds, that you can always lean on God, and that nothing can separate you from His love. And so no matter what goes on around you, it cannot take you from Him. It cannot defeat you. Because Christ has won the battles. And you see that the ways of this world, which are different from God, ultimately will not be victorious over you. Lastly then, with the prayer that Paul offers up, we offer up this prayer for you guys as well. It's a two-part prayer found in verses 8 and 9. Starting with verse 8, it reads, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." You know what that is right there? That's the process of sanctification that's in you. We talked about that in our class. Sanctification, that work of the Holy Spirit that's in all of us, drawing us closer to Christ. Because you see, when you draw closer to Christ, your mind becomes more on the things of God, less on the things of the world. And you see, those are all traits of God. We are made in His image. Those are traits and things that we focus on. The second part of that prayer, and I want you guys to remember the second part of this prayer. "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you." You guys spent 2 years in class learning things. Hang on to what you've learned. Grow in what you've learned. Because what happens is if you don't continue to learn and grow and live it out, it was all for naught. Why have come spent the 2 years on this? But instead you gave your time. The Holy Spirit can do amazing things in you. Because as I heard the elders say, and I cringe at this because I'm like, oh, that was a good point, and they took it from me. But confirmation does not mean the journey is done. And like school, when you finish up with school, it's done. But confirmation, what we are saying as a church here is we feel that you guys have been trained enough now to go up to the starting point of that race and begin the race on your own. You're given the knowledge that you need. But how you continue on in that race in your life is up to you. But that's a race that would tell you, trust in the Lord, follow His ways, continue to learn and grow in Him. Because you see, being a Christian is not an easy life. You're going to have heartaches, you're going to have struggles, you're going to have battles. There's no promises of that. But what you begin to see as you grow in your faith is you see that these things are temporary, and your eyes are focused on that prize and that eternal reward that comes. That race you'll learn requires a sacrifice. And the world will tell you, why would you want to make that sacrifice? Do things the way that we do things. But God doesn't call us to live that way. God calls us to live apart from the world. And so you have to ask yourself, what's more important, the temporary or the eternal? Because this race that God has put us all on is an amazing race, because all of us who have placed their faith in Christ are victorious in the end. This isn't the kind of race where there is just one winner. Those instead that have placed their hope in Christ, persevered and remained faithful to the end, they are all victors in that reward that He won for us. And those are the people that have the peace of God in them, and He will give that peace to you as well. To continue on with this race. And so I started off this morning with all these cliches that you've probably heard before. And I get it. I was your age one time. You probably haven't heard much of what I've said this morning. Goes in one ear and out the other. So I would ask that you guys would simply remember this. Exhortation, encouragement, and prayer that you were offered up today, I'll keep it short and concise so you remember it. How about I'm tweeting this to you? View it that way, okay? It's 140 characters long. You can remember this. But the exhortation, rejoice always in God. Encouragement, trust that He's always with you. And the prayer, I want you guys to know this. And myself and this congregation will always be praying for you. Praying for you on this race and on this journey that you are now starting. And I'm going to close out this message with actually the last line that Paul wrote in this letter to the Philippians. "And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Please bow your heads with me in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, that what we have today are two young people before us that we've been praying for, speaking to. Father, this is a message that speaks to all of us. This is an exhortation, an encouragement, and a prayer that is applied to all of us, Father. May we always live our lives rejoicing in you. May we always trust in knowing that you are there beside us. And Father, may we continue that process and look forward to the process of sanctification that's taking place in us through your Holy Spirit. Father, let us always rejoice in you. We pray in Jesus' name.